or tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, Christ, Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the speaker on this.
I love to teach the word. It wasn't that. I'd been hungry for the word for years. I used to sit on my couch and cry because I couldn't get what I needed in the church. I would cry and say, God, I go to the ministers or go to different ones and I say, what about this? What about this? And then say, well, I'll get back to you. They just never got back to me. And so the Lord began to open up after the Holy Spirit. He began to open it up. It was real hard. And the Lord spoke to me one night in my bed. He preached me a sermon and he started in Genesis and he went all the way to Revelation. And he gave me scripture after scripture on the call he'd given me. So I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I was, something David prophesied at the beginning, and I said, I think a lot of people didn't realize he was prophesying. And he said, it's kind of like Joshua said, choose you this day, you know. He didn't say that. He was saying, make a decision. Either obey the Lord and follow the Lord. I forgot how he said it, or even if you don't follow him, you're still going to end up, in front of him. And I was thinking, my question has been to the Lord, it's really hard, having always had someone with you to have to go, and I want to go, I really want to go, but I keep telling the Lord, if you want me to go out, you've got to give me the boldness to do it. It's not the boldness to go, to go and teach. It's when I get there, it's the driving to get there, you know, and get out on the road. Have a lot of Job's comforters. I have lots of them. And it really doesn't help, you know, it doesn't help the situation at all. And but the Lord knows, and He will take care of it, and I will be obedient, because I told the Lord in there just when David was prophesying, I said, yes, Lord, I will do it. And I a long time ago made the decision I would obey God, and I would go on with God if nobody else went in my family. You know, we're all concerned about our family, but we can't get saved for them. We can't make them get saved. We can't make them walk with the Lord. We can't make them desire the Lord. And so I tried to I just said to the Lord, okay, Lord, it's me and you. If my husband don't go, I know he's there now. But if my children don't go, if my grandchildren don't go, I'm going. And nothing will stop me. And we have to. And, you know, I really think that if we will make that decision and turn the kids and the grandkids over to God, and they stop getting in His way. I have a lady in my church, and I told her, I said, God can't work in your children's lives because of your prayers. I said, you pray about everything for them. And you said, well, she should. No, she needs to leave them alone and let God deal with them. Sometimes they have to hit bottom and bounce and look up and only see God. And if they can look up and say, Mama, they don't need God. Well, it's the truth. God brought me there. Let me tell you. I'll tell you just how truthful it is. And I'm a blabbermouth. I never keep anything secret. Then the devil can't use anything on me. See, I'm talking about my own life. My son was in jail last year for 5 months, and he had an accident, and they picked him up for non-child support. He had gotten way behind in child support. You know, like when you have an accident, they run a check on you, you know, to see if there's any warrants out, and there was. He went to jail. We let him stay there. And we didn't do anything to get him out. And when he came out, we wouldn't let him stay with us. We told him we loved him. And he's come back and gave testimony what his dad and I said to him and how much it helped him. He just told me 2 weeks ago, he came and spent the weekend with me. He's beautiful in the Lord now. But he was on drugs, honey. He had been on drugs until I couldn't stand around him. I was fearful of him. He had no idea what somebody on drugs will do. But when he came out of jail, his brother, it's over here in Little Rock, called and said, I'll send someone after him. Well, but he cannot stay with you all. I said, I can't deal with him because I'm dealing with Jim. You know, Jim was sick. So my son sent after him. He wouldn't come get him, but he sent a man from the mission. My son has a mission in Little Rock. And he sent this man over after him. And he said he was supposed to take him to the Veterans Hospital here. He was going in. He has a deteriorating spine and in a lot of pain. He has to walk with a cane. And it wasn't easy to do what we did. But Matthew came and picked him up. And my son James, he's a third. Jim, the third. Everybody else calls him Jim, but to me he's still James. He told Matthew, says, take him over. Now, my son had this mission where he brought people in off the street, drug addicts, alcoholics, everything, murders, everything. They get a lot of them from jail. But he said, don't bring him to our mission. Take him to Salvation Army. That's pretty bad when your own brother didn't want you either. Your mother and dad kicked you out, and then your brother don't want you. But, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself. So while we were there, I was watering my roses, and his father was sitting in the yard. excuse me, I got a dry spot. I forgot to get it. Here's something, Peggy. Here this. I didn't see it. If I was looking for a paper cup, thank you, dear. I knew you usually do it. I pulled my glasses off, couldn't see a thing. But he came out to me while I was watering the roses, and he said to me, Mother, I wish. Let me help you. And I said, no, I can do it. And he knew he had no money, no place to go, and he was talking to me, blaming everybody on the sun for his problem. And I told him, I said, son, you're a mess. I said, every one of us love you and would do anything for you, but we don't like you. We don't like your life. We don't like what you're doing. And I said, if you will go and forgive, if you will stop blaming everybody else and start forgiving those that you say hurt you and ask God to forgive you. And then I went on and explained a lot of the unforgiveness, and I'm going to touch on this today, and I guess that's why the Lord's got me sharing this. But anyways, I shared with him, and he sat out there, and I continued talking to him just about unforgiveness, that he had to forgive, I said, they're not your problem, you're your own problem. And then when we went in the house after I got through with the roses, his dad started, and his dad preached. And so they came and got him, and he didn't say anything to us other than he said, I think I see what you're saying. And so when they dropped him off at the Salvation Army, he said, I knew that what a mess I was when my own mother and dad and my brother didn't want me, that it was time for me to do something. And he said, he went in and they feed you, but you have to listen to a preaching. And I don't know whether you get the word first or the food. I really don't remember. Some of y'all may know I don't. But he said when that preacher got through preaching, he said, Mother, I don't know what he preached on, but I kept hearing you and Dad, and I made a beeline down to the altar. And he said, I got saved. He said, there I was with no place to go, no money, and nobody wanted me. Well, he stayed there for 3 days, and then my son went and got him and took him into the mission. But see, he'd gotten saved. And I want to tell you something. When my son came back to see his father, when Jim was, they had to put him in the hospital. He was going over there to go into the hospital. And they let him out on a pass to come see Jim. And we almost didn't recognize him. Jesus shone out of him, so it was, I tell you, his dad saw that, and it was such a blessing. And he kept telling me, we had made our front room into a hospital room, and I'd taken the couch and put it in the bedroom. And he came, got me, and he says, come on, I want to talk to you. And he carried me and then sat down on the couch with me. He said, and then he began to tell me what happened to him. He says, Mother, I just want to tell somebody, but I can't share it all. I said, son, you've been sitting here sharing with me for the last hour. And it was beautiful, but we had to back off. So, as I said, I don't hold anything back. The Lord did that. And if you've got one that you're caring and trying to get them saved, we prayed many a prayer for him. And that and stood on the word that God says, "I shall be saved in thy house." And, but he had to come to the end of himself. When he looked up, all he saw was the Lord. And he's still saved, and he's still hungry for the Lord. And I praise God for it. So get out of the way, mamas. Let God do it. Get out of the way and let God, you know. That's our problem, and I praise God for it. And this lady in our church, I've tried and tried to tell her, let her daughter alone. One daughter's living with a man, left her husband, just walked off and moved in with a man, and had a good husband. And then her other daughter has a lot of problems, and mama's always there trying to be God to them, and that's our problem. We don't want them to go through some of the things maybe we went through. We want to spare them, but all we're doing is enable them to continue doing it. He comes in as, into us as a baby, and he grows as we'll feed him to and let him grow up and take over. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for each lady that's here today. Lord, we come together, first of all, just to thank you for being God and for loving us. Lord, we lift up your name. We praise you and give you glory this afternoon. We thank you for your mercy and your grace and for your love. And now, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus and the authority I have where I'm seated in Christ Jesus, the third heaven, far above principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, I bind the strong man over this place. I bind every spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I cut off any power from the outside. I bind the strong man, each one in here, in the name of Jesus. I bind any powers that would try to interrupt or harass in any way, in Jesus' name. Lord, I just thank you for the authority that's in the name of Jesus. I praise you and give you glory this afternoon in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Lord, give us hearing ears, seeing eyes, and an understanding heart. Help us to receive. Help us to receive by the Spirit to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. And we'll praise you and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This has nothing to do with my teaching, but I was just thinking as I was praying about the angels of the Lord that encamp around about us. I've been doing a study on angels again. And, Brother Glenn was talking about healing, something I've been saying for a long time. It's why aren't God's people healed. I want to know why my husband wouldn't heal. And I know that what I believe, and I know how God has continued to heal me. But I have done this before, and I don't know whether I've shared it over here, but you know, we have authority over angels. Do you know you have authority over angels? You have authority over them. And if the Lord wills, I may tomorrow, I don't know. I really don't know what I'm going to teach you on tomorrow. But it's either that or casting out your thoughts. I don't know which. But whichever one the Lord leads me to, he may change it and give me something totally different. But, we're not using what God's given us. Years ago, I had a lady come to me, and I did not know it. At the time, she wanted prayer. And I was praying for her. And the Lord showed me a tumor in her as I was praying. I didn't know it was a tumor. It was just a yellow gob that I saw in her. And as I was praying, I heard myself saying, I had done it for myself, but I never really prayed for anyone else. And I said, "Lord, send an angel in there to destroy that thing and drive it out of her body and let it not harm her in the name of Jesus." And we finished the prayer. When I finished the prayer, she said to me, "I've been to the doctor, and he told me I had a tumor. And I'm going in and tomorrow, and he was going to check on it and see if he was maybe put me in the hospital." During the night, she passed that thing. It came out of her when she went to the bathroom. An angel literally did surgery on her. So, you know, my theory is I was sharing with someone just recently. I said, a lot of times when I go to talking about angels, say I praise God for the angels because the demons tell me we'd have killed you a long time ago if you didn't have angels protecting you. And I know that, and I thank the Lord for them. But I hear people say, well, if you call and ask the Lord to ask for angels, you might get an evil one. That's kind of dumb when you stop and think about it. If you're asking God to send you an angel, do you really think God would send you an evil one? So what we need to do is to remember that we've got a lot of help. And I know a lot of you know about them, but I'll tell you, there's some here that don't. And you have, when you obey the Word of God, when you're walking with the Lord, and when you call upon the angels of the Lord, in Hebrews it says the angels of the Lord A ministering spirit sent forth to minister for those that shall be heirs of salvation. Well, we're walking out our salvation. We're saved. We're being saved, and we're going to be saved. So we're heirs of salvation, and God has those angels there. You have one anyways, whether you ask for them or not, because he came when you did. And I have never found in the Bible where he ever leaves us. Has anyone ever found that? Where your angel, that you know, the children's angels always behold the Father's face. I have not found that. Okay, I told y'all yesterday I was going to some basic teaching on deliverance. So I'm going to do that very thing. And if you will, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. And I want to show you that deliverance is the children's bread. It belongs to you. If you're a child of God, you have a right to it. Over in Matthew 15 in verse 21, Jesus says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the coast, same coast, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon, with a devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. So Jesus was saying there that deliverance does not belong to the unsaved. The dogs were the Gentiles in the scripture when they referred to as dogs. They're talking about Gentiles. And a Gentile is a heathen. And so he was telling this woman that deliverance is your bread. It's mine and your bread. We have a right to it. Because why? Because we're God's children. And just in case we're not all God's children, let's go look at a scripture. I think Brother Bob last night touched on it. It might have been this morning when he was talking about John 3:16. So let's go to John 3. John 3. He's talking about John 3. You know, I told this in here, and I'll tell it again. We had a lady in our church that we did deliverance on. I did deliverance on for a long time. And she, when I asked her if she was saved, of course she said yes. And but I noticed every time she talked about where you would say talk about Jesus or the Lord, your Lord, Lord God. She always said God, and it bothered me. But I was doing deliverance on her. She was so demonized that we got a lot of stuff out of her, but we couldn't seem to ever get her where she could function. You know, she in the things of the Lord, she couldn't understand them. And I think I was telling you all that, I don't know who I was telling it to the other day, that one Sunday morning I was praying for her, and she knocked me cold. She hit me, caught me off guard, and the demon in her just wham, knocked me on the floor. And I came back up fighting. And I said, who do you think you are? And I said, you're trying to kill me? He said, I'm trying to break your cotton picking neck. Oh, he didn't say cotton picking neck. And I said, well, who are you? And he told me he was Methuselah, that he was the ruler of the keeper of the soul. And I said, what are you doing in her? And then he called me a few other nice names. And he said, stupid woman. He said, I'm the one that's trying to destroy her. He said, I destroyed this woman if she didn't come to your church. He said, when she came, she had a little, very little bit of her soul. And said, now you've been getting it back. So there was, she couldn't get saved because there wasn't enough of her there to get saved. And so eventually, as we continued to pray, and I'd call her soul back, and I'd ask Father to protect her so the soul wouldn't be taken lost. You know, you can ask for an angel to go in there and stand guard over the soul. And this was what I was doing. And so finally, one Sunday morning, there was enough of Hosea that we led her to the Lord. And she still hadn't been totally delivered, but I'm telling you the truth, she's really a blessing now, the change. For so long I was so disgusted, it seemed like it was in and out, and in and out, in and out. And I was saying, God, will it never end? You know, I know your word says that they have to go and she's got to be free. But see, there wasn't enough of her there to protect her from when you throw something out. And so without being saved, a person has no protection. And you do them no favor doing deliverance on them. So in John, the third chapter, in the third verse, Jesus answered Nicodemus, when he came to him, and he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? This is what we try to do. We try to reason everything out from the Lord instead of just believing God. And Nicodemus was an educated man, but he was in the reason realm. And Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, they except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. A person has to be born again by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has to take that Word and bring life. A person cannot be saved unless they've heard of Jesus and know the story, because that's the Word. They've got to know He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and they have to receive salvation through Him. A person is born again the very same way that Mary conceived Jesus in her womb. And I tell you why I know. God showed me. Because I asked the Baptist preacher, because we know Baptists preach salvation. And I went to him, and I said, Preacher, one of my long, never-answered questions. How does a person get saved? You ever heard of four spiritual laws? I used them talking to people about Jesus. That's the Roman road to salvation. Man is sin, all of sin comes short of the glory of God. And all of this. But I wanted to know how. People were saying to me, I'd say, you know, you need to invite Jesus into your heart, in your life. And they'd say, but how do you do that? And I said, I don't know. Just ask him and he comes in. But I wanted answers to my questions so I could share with people that I was witnessing to. And so the preacher said, I'll get back to you. And I said, that was his word. I don't think he liked me too much, because I was always asking to him dumb questions. And I wanted to know. I was asking because I was ignorant and wanted to know. And so I was sitting on my couch one day and I was just crying. I said, Lord, I've asked the preacher. I've asked this the superintendent of training, we're always training. They don't want to train for, but we never do anything with it. But I'd ask him, and I was asking everybody, and I said, God, I've asked everybody, and I read this, and I read this, and I read this, and I said, please show me how I'm born again. And so he took me over to Luke. He said, go to Luke 1. And so I went to Luke 1. And you know, when the angel of the Lord came to Mary and preached to her the word of God. And I was told angels couldn't preach. So here it was in the Word. He came and he said, that holy thing is going to be born of you. He shall be called the Son of God. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you and hover over you, and you're going to conceive and bring forth a son. And she says, but how can that be? She didn't say, that can't be. She said, how can that be? I know not a man. And he said, that's when he told her the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her. Do you remember what she said to him? Be it unto me according to thy word. And so the Lord showed me. He said, see, she received the word from the angel. The Holy Ghost came upon her. And Jesus was conceived in her womb. And God says, that's the way you're born again. You hear the story of Jesus Christ. And in your heart, you receive him. The Holy Spirit brings life. All of a sudden, you just know that he's in there, because you have heard the word, you've received it, you've believed it, and the Holy Spirit has said, now it's planted. The seed's planted. And you know, we have to water it with the word. There's a lot of, now hear me with this, there are a lot of spiritual abortions. People go in and they ask the Lord to come in, and really and truly, they receive the word and they know they're born again, but they never do anything about feeding that word and following the Lord and yielding to the Lord. And eventually they're back out in the devil's camp again. And in our church, in the church that I came out of, the Baptist church, they call that backsliding. And they said, once saved, always saved. But I found in the word that's not true. And so what happens is that seed, it is aborted. And then they have to go back before the Lord, repent and go back before the Lord. And that's why it's so important when you get them saved, get them filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, we must be saved to receive deliverance. A person must be born again. And I'll prove it to you by the word that it is. Over in 1 Peter, I know that you don't need this. You probably know it, but you need it. Because if you didn't need it, God wouldn't have given it to me. Yesterday morning when I was sitting at the table saying, Lord, can I preach this? Is this what you want me to do? And this one, this. And then he began to show me scripture after scripture he wanted me to use this afternoon. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, Peter says, "For as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." See, we had to receive the finished work of Calvary. We had to know. I'll tell you how it happened to me. I've been in church all my life and had four kids. I think they were half grown. I was in my 40s when I really, really knew that I knew that I knew, because I was sitting in church one morning, and I was sitting in the back, very back of the church, and all of a sudden, I tell this many times, and I don't even remember what the preacher was preaching, but I saw the cross. And I knew Jesus Christ died for me. He died for me. And this was like the Lord was saying, if you'd been the only person in the world, I loved you enough that I died for you. I received that into my heart. And I was never the same after that. Never. And then I hungered for him. I searched everywhere and bugged people. Went here, yonder, everywhere, trying to find what I was looking for. And what I needed was the Holy Spirit to teach me, you know. And so he says, we're born with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world and was manifested in these lifetimes for you, who by him do believe. See, in God, we've got to believe. We don't need to mentally sin it. You know, this is a problem with our healing and our deliverance. We mentally sin it. Well, I know all those scriptures, you know. I know why deliverance is mine. But do you believe that when you come for deliverance, you're going to get delivered? Those that come in knowing and expecting get what they expect. But if we come in saying, well, you know, I'm not too sure I got anything. And if I have, well, I want it to go, you know, but I really don't. I you know why I can tell you that? I've been there and done that. First time I ever went to Worley's church, I sat there and thought, those poor people, they're so demonized. Little did I know what God was fixing to do with me. Oh, but praise God. Praise the Lord. But you see, we mentally sense so much, and if we come in expecting, we receive. When you go up to be prayed for healing, if you really expect it and receive it. And this is the thing that I see our biggest problem is, we don't know how to receive. We need to receive it. We need to receive the healing. We need to receive the all the works that Jesus did for us. He said, who by... Yes, you should. If you... When I laid hands on you, that God was going to do something. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to obey the word, and I'm going to do what God tells me. But you've got to expect God is doing it and receive it. It's yours. If you will open up and receive it, it's yours. It's already yours. It's yours whether you ever receive it. You know, I don't want to go be with the Lord and see all this stuff back up here and all these beautiful packages. But God, what in the world is that? And he said, those are things I gave you that you never received. Never opened them and received them. Never did. But God wants us to expect. And we're going to do some deliverance after a while, but I want to go through this with you. I want you to know. Because if you have not, if you're not sure that you're born again, you need to right now. Right now. Because the word says here, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead. You say, well, I know that. And don't mentally assent it. Know it. Know that you know that you know that you know that you know that Jesus died for you. Okay? You say, why are you preaching this to us and we're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost? You need a refresher course, and those that don't not sure need to know. Let me tell you, I said last time I've been doing a study on the name of Jesus, and I said the wonderful name of Jesus. Our minds can't comprehend all that God has given unto us. And so seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. See, we're back to obeying the word, obeying the truth, through the Spirit unto an unfringed love of the brethren, so that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again. And this is the scripture I really want to give you, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, not incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And that incorruptible seed is the word that comes into our spirit. Go, you can read Matthew 13 when it talks about the sowing, the sower, and how the word falls. Sometimes it falls seed. Sometimes it falls on good ground. Sometimes there's hearts here prepared. Wake up! I'm trying to wake everybody up. It's warm in here, so you will get drowsy. But we need to receive that word, that incorruptible word in here, not up here, but know that it's ours. What do you need from the Lord today? Believe with your heart. The word says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And so we need to believe. You know, we need to stop saying the negative thing. Gene and I have been doing a lot of communicating. I know, almost y'all know Gene Post. We've been communicating over the telephone. I said, Gene, it's time to get rid of the negative and start believing the positive. I said, we've talked, if the negative is everywhere, everybody's got this, they got that. And I said, I just got Jesus, and let's go on with that. And let's start confessing what the Word says, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. Jesus said His words are spirit in their life. If they're spirit in their life, we want those in our heart to bring life in us. Amen? And so this is what He's talking about here when He says this. Now, you got to be born again. Anybody in here not born again? You know that you know that you know that you're God's child. Amen? Okay? Let's go over and look at another scripture. You've got to be born again to receive. Go to Matthew chapter 3. And you've got to repent. And I get on this sometimes in my church. I've had this happen. I think there's three women in our church. We're real small. I mean, really small in our church. But three of the women in our church have had abortion. And every one of them are in the process of receiving deliverance. And when I got on this, I said, you've got to repent. You've really got to repent for the sins that you've done. And I didn't know these ladies. I knew one of them had an abortion, but I didn't know the other two had till the Lord showed it to me. And I didn't say anything about it. I was waiting to see if they told me. And when they did, I said, well, you've got to repent. Oh, I've repented of everything I ever did. And I said, that won't cut it. I said, did you ever stop to think what abortion is? It's murder. And God says that you're shedding innocent blood. Over in Psalms, it talks about the sin of shedding innocent blood. And I said, you've got to look at it like God saw it and repent of it. Ask God to give you a spirit of repentance, to repent for what you've done. I'm still dealing with one of those women. I didn't do it. My husband made me do it. I said, I can't help that. You still got to repent of it. You've got to ask God to forgive you because you're the one that did it. And I said, regardless if he made you do it, you still say, Lord, I did it, and forgive me. And I want to repent of this in Jesus' name. And you're also cutting a covenant with the devil because he wants this innocent. And those babies are innocent. And when they're murdered like that, destroyed, you're shedding innocent blood in worship to the devil. That's why abortion laws passed. The devil had that done. Because he wants worship. And this is why it's so important that we recognize that she said, we need to, if you've had an abortion, I know you've prayed to ask God to forgive you, but you do need to break that covenant and ask God to forgive you for making a covenant. You're causing a death, you're doing a murder, and you're rebelling against God's word, you're taking a life, and it brings all kinds of problems in you, and you've also made a covenant with the devil. Because it's worship of the devil. Because over in the Old Testament, when they talk about child sacrifice, you know, they took the innocent, the firstborn child, and they sacrificed that child upon the arms of that Dagon. And they built the fire under the child. And the thing was that they did all this singing and dancing and all the things they did to drown out the screams of the children. And this Dagon is a false god. It's a deity that they were worshiping. And so we don't say that we're doing that. People don't say that they're doing that, but they're still, and it all goes back to Satanism. So we need to repent. And John said in Matthew 3, in verse 2, he said, in verse 1, he said, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In verse 8, he said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. We need repentance means that we go before the Lord and we repent, and then we turn from the things that we think different, we act different, and we turn. My husband always told it like this. He said, "You're walking this way, 180 degree turn." So you change your direction, you change your thinking, you change everything about you, and you go before the Lord, and you've got to repent of it and ask forgiveness for it. And I'm saying, you said abortion, the shedding of some blood, but it means adultery, anything that you know that you have done that might, even if you, like my son was doing, blame somebody else for it, that they caused you to do it, you still got to repent of it and ask God's forgiveness. And it's very important to repent. And you know, in 1 John 1:9, the scripture says, we have these scriptures up on the wall in our church. If it says here, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God is faithful when we go before him. And by the way, you know and I know, he looks at our heart. He's looking to see if we really mean it. We had a lot of prayer this morning to open us up for deliverance, and I thought, Lord, are we really getting prepared? We're going to see a lot of deliverance come forth. God is so great. Over in Matthew in chapter 6, he talks about we need to forgive. I shared that little bit about John and his forgiving. He went to his children. He has two children, and he asked them to forgive him. He has three ex-wives. he's asked them to forgive him. He asked his father, and he asked me to forgive him. And he's been doing, you know, just seeking the Lord and asking the Lord to show him anyone else that he's met. I don't know who all he's gone to. I just know those. And it's making such a difference in him. God's preparing him for deliverance. He doesn't know that yet, but I'll tell you this. I gave him I'm so sneaky. I gave him the deliverance manual, and I said, read this. I gave him a book on the name of Jesus, I think it was Kenyon's book. I found it in my house. I'm not sure. I think it's his. And I said, read this. He told me the other day, he said, Mother, he said, I've loaned it out a time or two, but I make them bring it back. He said, I'm not about to let them take my book. I said, well, I don't have another one, though. I just happened to find that he was asking me for something to read, and I had given him several books. And I saw that book, and I said, here's what you need, read it. Find out who Jesus is. And God is just really working there. But over in Matthew in chapter 6, when the disciples came to Jesus and asked him to teach them to pray, he said in verse 13, in verse 12, he said, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We have debts that we need to forgive. And I'm not talking about financial debts. I'm talking about debts to people that we need to forgive them for what anything and everything that we know that has been wrong between us and them, because God has forgiven us. And he said, and forgive us our debts. And he said, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. I put the evil one on there because that's really what he's talking about, that when we forgive, he will deliver us from the evil one. And he said, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. So we're really commanded to forgive them, because God cannot work with us until we forgive them. And I'll tell this again. I always say this. When most of you have heard it, some of you haven't from me, but when we forgive, we free ourselves from the person that we're holding unforgiveness against. We free them also. And we free God to work in both of us. And he can work in them as well as us. You know, I've been going back thinking, wanting to ask the Lord anything in the past, and when I was a kid, even when a kid, that he would show me if there's something that I would hold resentment against any member of my family. I was doing study on bitterness, and I was amazed at some of the things that the Lord brought to me. said, you know, you need to work on the in this area or this area. I had to do a lot of working on forgiveness and anger and bitterness when Jim died. I was mad at everybody. And I was so ugly. People, they'd call me up and tell me stuff, and now I want to hang up the phone on them. I didn't, but I wanted to. And I said, you don't know what I'm going through. And I had to repent and ask forgiveness. I was angry. I was striking out at everyone around me. And the Lord, what he was showing me what my problem was? I was angry at them, but it wasn't anger that was my real problem. My real problem was that they had come in and stolen my time with my husband. And I was full of resentment because of it. And then I got angry because I let it happen. They came to help me, and I felt like they stole him from me. And it was horrible. I mean, I've been there, girls. I'm talking to me. I have been there, been through all of this in the area of forgiveness and receiving forgiveness. I apologize to ask forgiveness from my daughter. She was there, and from the little girls in our church that helped us. And I've had to ask the Lord to deliver me and free me from my sons just kind of deserted me. Because they were so hurt. I think they were so guilty because they had not been with their dad when they wanted. You know, they felt, I don't know, this is my own, what I think about it. But I had to forgive them and loosen them. And so God says, when we forgive, he can work in us. And I'll tell you something. As long as you hold on to any of it, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, resentment, you'll not hear from God. You'll hear from the devil. But you won't hear from God because you grieve the Holy Spirit and he won't talk to you. And you have to go back to where this all began to be able to get free from it. And you have to repent. And I always say, Holy Spirit, forgive me for grieving you with my things that I've done. And then he's so kind and so gentle that he begins to talk to me again. It's so essential for our deliverance if we want deliverance. Over in Ephesians chapter 6, I think this is important because a lot of times we forget I know it's important because the Lord gave it to me and I was going in another direction and he gave me this scripture and he said, so many people of my people today, children today, are angry, have not forgiven their mother or father or siblings when they were growing up of what they think was wrong that the mother did or the father did, and they need to forgive them. And when you ask them, have you forgiven your mother or your father? They say, oh yes, I've forgiven everybody. But the thing is, we thought what they did was wrong, and we were angry at them, and we got mad at them, and we resented what they said and what they did, and we need to repent of it and ask God to forgive us. And if and you've got to forgive them, even whether they're living or dead, whether they were right or whether you were right, doesn't make any difference because God forgave us everything. So you must forgive. He said in Ephesians 6, chapter 1, chapter 6, verse 1, he said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. See, today children are not taught to obey their parents. If it feels good, do it. And heck with your mother and father. And if they lay hands on you or tell you, they get too rough for you, you just call us and we'll take you out of the home. That's what they do, isn't it? Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou may live as long on the earth. And ye fathers provoke, I always like this one, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So that's a commandment. God has commanded the father to bring the children up in the admonition of the Lord and to honor the Lord. So the fathers a lot of time are really guilty, but that's not mine and your problem because it's commanded of the Lord. He said, you forgive. And we're to forgive our fathers and mothers. Over in Colossians, there's one other verse. Let me get that. I think it's this one. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. We need to forgive our husbands. I forgave my husband for leaving me. I was angry at him because he did. Bless his heart, he didn't want to. He wanted to live. And I had to forgive him. And I said, Lord, I repent of the bitterness in me that's trying to swell up. I don't want anything in me, Lord. I can't afford it. I don't want it. It's not mine. And I called it off of me. And I did. I was getting deliverance from it. in the hurt. There was hurt. But we need to forgive our husbands. If your husband has left you, divorced you, you need to forgive him. And husbands need to forgive wives. And so it's essential that we forgive them. You say, well, I've already done that. Just be sure. Be sure that you don't. And I'll tell you, way you can really tell whether you've really done it or not. What did Jesus say? He said he forgave us our sins and he remembered them no more. So that puts us in a whole different light, doesn't it? He taught me this one time when I was mentioned to a lady on the telephone. And she says, I forgive him. I just kept telling her, I said, you need to forgive. And the Lord spoke to me and he gave me that scripture. And I said, as long as you keep bringing it up and keep talking on it, you have not forgiven. And you need to forgive and be like what the Word says. Jesus, God said he forgave us and he remembered our sins no more. And then he goes on to say, children, obey your parents in all things, for this it is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Okay. Then he said over in verse 13, he says, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. This one can apply to your next door neighbor. If you have a quarrel with him, I'm just, whoever your neighbor is, whoever, other than family, that you may need to forgive. And he said, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectionist. So we need to put on God's love and forgive and release it. You know, I'm going to call out unforgiveness in a few minutes. I've got a list of these things I'm talking about. And we need to release it and ask God, after we get delivered from it, anyone that you've had unforgiveness or bitterness against or resentment or whatever, you need to ask God to bless them. You know, when I'm dealing with witchcraft, I don't do that. And Satanists, when I know that they're deliberately out to destroy me, I use Psalms 109 that says, they that love cursing, let the curse return unto them. A lot of people don't agree with me, but a lot of people don't walk in my shoes either. And have to fight it like we do. We fight it off a lot of it. But if you bless someone and you ask God to bless them and they don't receive it, it returns to you. And so we want God to bless them. And if they don't receive the blessing, then God, the blessing can come back to us. Okay, I'm getting. It's over in Isaiah. I don't know the exact place right this moment. You can find it in your concordance, okay? In 1 Peter, this is another place. We had at the ladies' meeting, we had a lady that came through my church. She wasn't from my church, but she came here from my church, and she wouldn't receive deliverance. Her husband was getting a lot of deliverance in our church. They came on Wednesday night and sometime on Sunday night to receive deliverance, and she had been abused and a lot of things, and he knew that she really needed deliverance, and he told me, he said, she won't receive, she won't even let me pray for her. And I said, well, the only thing I know to do with someone like that is just to get them under the Word, you know, and let them sit under and hear the teachings on deliverance. So she came to the ladies' meeting, and he was so excited. Bless his heart. But anyway, she would not receive. And she brought her, anyway, I won't say more. I don't want to know who I'm talking about. But the problem is she was full of pride. She didn't want anybody to know. And nobody would have known, I mean, you know, what her problem was, because I may be calling out incest, and it may be anger, but the way that I started with, you never know what's coming out when you go do a mass deliverance, the spirits come out. And it's nobody's business, and if it is, they're nosy, and they deserve everything they get. But they are nosy, and they shouldn't be. But we have to humble. To ask for deliverance and receive deliverance is the humbling. When we were in our bigger church, when we had a bigger church than we have right now, we're in a small storefront right now, but when we were in another building, when people wanted deliverance, we made it a rule. We didn't do mass deliverance back then. We did totally one-on-one deliverance because we had a lot of workers and we could do that. And it was a rule in the church that if you wanted deliverance, we kept the front row empty. No one was still in the front row. They didn't dare. Because that was the deliverance row. And so when we get through preaching and we say, anybody that wants ministry, come and sit on the front row. And so they would come up and sit on the front row. And I've had those women and some of the men tell me, you have no idea how hard it is to get up from the back of the church and walk and get up on that front row. And I thought that was really good because they were putting their spirits under their authority and making them their way to the front. It was a humbling thing. And so over in Peter, Peter says in verse chapter 5 in verse 5, he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares on him, for he careth for you. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as the roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Pride. Pride is an open door for the enemy. There's many doors that can be opened, but we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. And I'm telling you things that God hates that we need to deal with. Now, I'm going to one right now that is an abomination to God. It's the occult. Over in Deuteronomy, we always go to these scriptures because God, you know, the punishment for disobedience, for disobeying God and going into the things that God tells us not to do. There's quite a few in the Old Testament that brings death. And unless we repent of it and get free from it, ask God's forgiveness, we're under curse of death. And as the brother was talking about downstairs, you know, he said he hadn't heard anybody teach on it much, but we teach on it all the time in our church because we go after sins of the fathers, the iniquities of the fathers, and come against that, you know, because the Word tells us we've got to take care of their sins. But so many times that we have not gone back and asked for forgiveness for if you knew your father or grandfather, great-grandfather, or whatever, killed someone, you need to ask God to forgive them. You know, Jesus said in John 23, I think it is. I'm trying to tell you. I always try to get them backwards. He said, whosoever sins you remit. I'm talking fast because I'm trying to hurry. He said, whosoever sins you remit are remitted, and whosoever sins you retain are retained. So we need to ask God, we need to remit our forefathers' sin. And what that is saying, Lord, forgive them for their sin. That confessing their iniquities means, Lord, forgive them for what they did. They did this, this, this. Forgive them, Father. And I did this, this, this. Forgive me, Father. We confess. And if we don't confess, if you look up that word when it says, whosoever sins you remit or remitted, that word is bound. You bind them. You bind those things to you. Look up the word of the concordance. It's the same one word as over in Matthew 16 when it talks about binding and loosing. And so over in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 9, the word says, when thou come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of these nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or observer of times, or an observer, or an enchanter, or a witch. So he said that passing through the fire is child sacrifice, making the children. And the scriptures in there said you've given your sons and your daughters over to demons, to devils. I think the word says devils. And so God calls this an abomination. He said, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God does drive them out from before thee. So God tells us that all these things are an abomination. And over in Exodus 18:22, he said, suffer a witch not to live. That, and the reason I was using that scripture, 22:18, I had it backwards. Excuse me? We try to get them saved and get them delivered, get them to repent. But let me tell you, what you're saying, they're under curse from God. And God
we'll take care of them. If they don't repent, we can do nothing but pray. And we pray that God will save them or change them or turn them. You know, we had one sent into our church. I told this and tell it again. And she was pretending she wanted to be delivered. And, and really, she did pretend because we would try to deliver, and she got up, ran out of the church. Police got her and brought her back to she's going down another road and brought her back. He said, well, she's manifested. No, the demon in her was that controlled her got her out of the church, and the police brought her back in. We were all saying, oh, Lord, we've never had this happen before. They know we're strange, but they didn't know how strange we were. And the policeman brought her in. And my husband was like, I'm not handling this. Well, you got to do this. He intended to. Anyways, he said, the policeman said that we found her run down the highway running. And the bad thing was there's several people from my church going after her. But she got away from them, so they came back. And Jim says, well, he said, said she's been in Satanism. And she's from the Brotherhood, and that's what they call the Satanism Brotherhood. And he said, oh, we know about them, and we know about y'all. That's okay. We just thought we'd bring her back, and they took off. they had heard, we're close to, we're in a storefront building, and two doors down from us is a real estate office, and one of the women that that was running that office had a sister in our church. And one night they heard us praying, and I was praying deliverance. I mean, there was a lot of praying going on, a lot of screaming, kicking, hollering, too. And they said to my girl in our church, his sister said, Betty said, what kind of church is that over there? And she said, oh, said they're different. And they said, well, are they from somewhere else? And she said, no, said they just believe the word. And we never had anybody to come over and comment or anything. We did have one say one time, you guys sure do pray a lot. So, yeah, we have to. But he said over in Exodus 22 and verse 18, thou shalt suffer a witch not to live. And my point of reading this is that people in Satanism that have gone into it, you know, and are witches or so forth, or warlocks or wizards, and we've got some self-proclaimed witches that say they're good witches, the white witch, or they're in white witchcraft or black witchcraft, and there's no such thing. And but it brings a curse of death. Now, my whole point of this is if someone in your family history, you know, generations back has been in witchcraft and you don't know it, you could be under curse of death from it. So, we need to, as we're confessing the iniquities of our fathers, we need to take care of that also. God hates it. And, Paul said over in Galatians, when he came to the church in Galatians, he asked them, what did he say to them? Who's bewitched you? I sat by an individual at lunch that is being bewitched. He was so turned on to deliverance, and he's gotten out of pocket. He's going to a school. What did he call that? It's a theology school, learning theology. And he sounds different. He's being bewitched and deceived. He was just right on target. He's been just really, you know, enthusiastic about deliverance and praying for people and all of this. But I heard the language change today. And it was real frightening because I know the enemy's trying to do this to a lot of people. And getting them to be, to compromise the word, well, you don't have to have deliverance. You stay away from that lady, that woman with the SGC, she's a demon under every rock. And I said, no, I don't see one. Sometimes there's a whole family, maybe two families under there, you know. But I really don't. I don't look for them. You know, they're there. So this is what the enemy is trying to do. And Paul said in Galatians, in the third chapter, he said, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? He said, don't turn away from the truth. Don't let what did Jesus say over Matthew 24? If it were possible, even the very elect in the end time would be deceived. And the devil's greatest tool is to as tools of deception. Be sure that you don't follow signs and wonders. I don't remember if he didn't get into that far down in 2 Thessalonians this morning, I don't think, when he was talking about iniquity that was going, the man of sin that's going to take over. See, there is a... Oh, I'm not so good. I don't care. The man of sin, every one of us. You say, not me, I'm perfect. No, well, what are you doing here? Why don't you in heaven? There's something in us that wants to do its own thing. And that thing, if we don't, he wants to rule and reign on the throne. He doesn't want God there. And I teach it like this in my church. There's 2 trees in us. Which tree are we eating from? The tree of knowledge of good and evil, or the tree of life? And God wants us to eat of the tree of life. But if the enemy can deceive us and say, hey, you're okay. Just go on. Well, you may be, and you may be able to go on for a while. But I've seen that happen. I've seen people that came through our church that were getting massive deliverance. I mean, just tremendous deliverance. And one girl, bless her heart, she made a deal with the devil. He told her if she wouldn't receive deliverance anymore, she'd be okay. And so she backed off. And I went to see her, which I never do. But I knew I had spent a lot of time ministering that woman, and I didn't know what was going on with her, so I went to see her. And she had been abused and all kinds of things happened to her. And I asked her, I said, Pastor, what are you doing? Why are you not in church? She said, well, I'm okay. I said, you're okay? I knew I wasn't talking to her then, and I thought, yeah, you're okay. She said, no, I got a better deal. A better deal. And I said, honey, what do you mean? And she said, well, that demon that's tormenting me so long for her life, and we'll get real close to getting him out. And he said, told her, said, if you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. He did. Her 14-year-old daughter got pregnant and had a baby at 14. The next year she got pregnant again. Same girl, had a car wreck and killed her and the baby. Her other daughter got pregnant, had a baby. She and her husband divorced. It was just one, I'm not kidding, it was just one, and she never related it to her getting back and away from the things of the Lord. And they moved away from us. I don't know where they are now, but I've often wondered what really happened after. All the things that happened to her was horrendous, and she was so close to being set free. And so we have to be very careful to what spirit. We need to try the spirits that are talking to us, see whether they be of God or not. And again, if God doesn't mind, the Holy Ghost won't get mad at us if we say, well, I don't know where that's, I don't believe that, that may not be the Lord. And then we try that spirit. He doesn't mind. I believe God is blessed when we speak His word and do what the word says. And I am one that wants to try the spirits because we do not want to be deceived. So we need to be very careful. We need to not be bewitched by false signs and wonders, because the word tells us in the end time that the enemy will perform false signs and wonders. How do I say this without offending anyone? I tell you the truth. The devil, the one that I see that I have trouble with a lot of times is, say someone that has a lot of spirits in them or spiritual problems, and doctors give them medication. And they appear to be just doing so great. But that's man performing. And I see how that can deceive us. It's where we get to the place where we don't trust God. If you ever read the book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, they've got it downstairs. I did have it. I think you still got it down there. Well, did have it. Well, she talked about it, that how they did surgery without... you know, antiseptic and without night or whatever. But what happens when you pacify a devil, I say give him a drug, he just goes to sleep, you know, thinks down and leaves you alone till you have to give him more and more and more to keep him under control. And so I say, let's be careful and about taking those things or doing those things and not be deceived. That's just one of the ways. I can tell you a lot of ways that I know the enemy's going to try to deceive us. But Paul said, don't be bewitched by the false. You know the truth. Stay follow after the Lord. And that's where I want. I don't want to say this is not of God when it when it is of God. And I said, Lord, if this be of you, show me, because that's what I want to know. I don't want to miss anything God's doing. But I don't want to be gullible and swallow everything and it not be God. Because you can sure get in trouble. And so I've been there. I've had enough trouble this past 6 months, you know. Well, Lord, I haven't had trouble. I've just been widowed and all this stuff. And, you know, but God knows my heart and he knows where I am. But we need to take all these things step by step, and we're going to do that. But first, before I do that, I want one more on the soul. We need to call our soul back. Psalms 23, verse 3. You've known it all your life, and I have too, and I never really knew what it meant until I learned that the soul could be removed. God said here in Matthew 23, verse 3, he said, he restoreth my soul. And we need to call our soul back. We need to ask the Lord. You know, the greatest thing that I saw in this was, not the greatest, but one of the greatest, because I'm so young, I'm getting younger every day, that I didn't want to receive what everybody was saying about people when you get old. You know, you get old, you get crippled, you get senile, and you lose your mind, and all of this. I said, that's of the devil. I said, my Bible tells me Moses was 120 years old. His natural strength was not abating. His eyesight was not dim. And the word says that God is no respecter of persons. So whatever he did for him, he can do for me. And so when they told me that when I saw this, that the soul had to be restored, it's been fragmented, I said, Lord, restore all of my soul. The one that you put in me you created me in the belly of my mother, in the womb of my mother. I said, everything that the devil's taking from me, I want it back. And I will have the mind of Christ at 99 or 120 or whatever, because the word says I can have it. I do not have to be forgetful and absent-minded and all of this and not being able to move about. Look at Mildred down there, 90 years old. When it was up past sign this morning, 90, was she 91 now? She drives and goes in where she wants to. Still working. She works as a waitress. Yes, hardest work there is. At the racetrack. And they gave her a plaque last year for all. She's got people, oohs and bukus of people saved. And so, see, that's a living proof that you don't have to be senile and lose your mind. And so we need to call back our soul. It is so important to ask the Lord to restore your soul. I had someone ask me just recently, how do you know when you get it all back? I said, well, I just keep saying every time I feel like I've made a soul tie with someone, Lord, restore my soul. I want it all. And I'm going to keep praying that till the day Jesus either comes back or I go home, whichever comes first. Because I want all of my soul. I want to be able to function and be what God created me to be. Hadn't got there yet, but still working on it. So we need to call our soul back, okay? And then I want you to recognize the fact that God has given you authority. Luke 10:19, he says, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. And that word power is authority. And the authority he has given us is over all A-L-L power of the devil. It says the enemy, and the devil is our enemy. So he's under our feet, but most of the time he walks over us because we don't put him down. And God is wanting us to take our authority, walk in it, and put him down and get you some high heel shoes on and grind his head in the floor. That's what we need to do to him. Okay, and then in Joel chapter 2, verse 32, he said, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall, not maybe, but shall be delivered. You call upon the name of the Lord as your deliverer. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the deliverer. The power of God sets us free, and we have to receive it, and we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Anybody here want deliverance this afternoon? Everybody's saved. Know for a fact, you die tonight, you're going to heaven. Our favorite thing in the Baptist church was when they tell us when you go out to knock on someone's door, and they come to the door, and if they'll let you talk to them, ask them, well, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? And if they say, well, I don't know, say, maybe, or I belong to the church, or my grandmother was a preacher. I had little girls used to tell me that, and I said, well, God doesn't have any grandchildren. And so, anyways, we need to be sure that if we died tonight and went to stand before the Lord, that we would have the right answer. He said, why? And this, the second question was, if they told us they were saved, we were supposed to say to them, well, what if you met him, if he asked you what right you had to be in heaven, what would you tell God? And that's when people would tell us that, well, we belong to the church. We belong to the First Baptist Church, or we belong to the Methodist Church, or, you know, I've been a good person all my life. But the only right we have to go to heaven is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, we have salvation. Amen. Okay, we have to repent. Have you repented of anything, everything you need to repent of? Confess your sin. Forgive. I'm believing everyone took care of these. Humble yourselves and repent. By the way, I didn't go into this on the occult, but you must, if you've ever been involved in it, and the occult consists of a lot of things, tell the devil that you're closing the door on it and you will never again open it. He has no part in the lot in your life, and you'll never again open the door to any part of the occult. Anything. Palm reading, fortune telling, Ouija board. The Ouija board, fortune teller, tea leaf reading, horoscopes, astrology, all of it. Okay. Okay, now let's put our feet flat on the floor. Uncross your arms. This is a sign of rebellion when you get into deliverance. Nobody's going to deliver me, boy. So, okay. Have you got them? We're okay. I didn't know. I didn't see any. And I was wondering. Thank you. Okay. We've got some paper towels. And Peggy, give everyone one. Sometimes people say, well, I don't want one. You better take one. You might need it. You never know when you might need it. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, let me bind, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit up here in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind every hindering spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind the spirits and I bind them to my authority where I'm seated in Christ Jesus in the third heaven. That means you're bound to my authority where I am in Christ in the third heavens, far above principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. And when I call your name, you will come out. You will loosen these ladies and leave in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask for angels to come in this building right now. Stand guard over the children, cover the children. We cover the children with the blood of Jesus and ask for your protection over them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as the spirits are called out, I ask for the angels to take them to the bottomless pit and bind them in the pit until the day of judgment. And Lord, I just thank you for all that you've given unto us in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that every name that has a name bows to the name of Jesus. And that his name is higher than any name in three worlds, in heaven above, in the earth that we live on, or in beneath the earth. So I thank you for that authority in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I'm going to assume, because we went through prayer this morning, that we've all taken care of all these things. I'm going right on into deliverance, okay? In the name of Jesus, I call unforgiveness out. Unforgiveness. Loosen them. Loosen them and let them go. Come on out there. Let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. Loosen them. Let me tell you this. If you're not, anything's not moving, take a deep breath and breathe in and breathe out. And sometimes you even have to cough once or twice and stir those things up. You have to work from within, okay? Unforgiveness, spirits of bitterness, in the name of Jesus, that root of bitterness, we come against it in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out there. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Cough them out. That's the way you do, cough those things out. Let them go. Come out there in Jesus' name. Resentment, anger, pride, in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of envy, every spirit of divination, witchcraft, come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to me. Come out there. Satanism, spirits of Satanism, New Age spirits, come out there now in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Come on out. Let them go. All false personalities, loosen them and let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. If you will, just sit still. Okay. Your bouncing is may distract someone. We don't want to do that. Okay. Thank you. Envy, divination, unforgiveness, hate of father, spirits of hate of father, loosen them. Loosen them and let them go. Come on out there. Turn them loose. Hate of mother. I break evil soul ties with the father in the name of Jesus. And I call out every evil soul tie in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on out there. Let them go. In Jesus' name, Father, in the name of Jesus, restore the soul of every part of the soul that's been removed. In Jesus' name, you said in your word He restoreth my soul. So I ask you to restore every part of the soul in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Spirit, I break an evil soul tie between each one here and the mother. In the name of Jesus. And I call the soul of the mother out. Loose them and let them go. Come on out there in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn loose. Come out there now in Jesus' name. Hate of self. Rejection. Spirits of rejection. Fear of rejection. Self-rejection. Come out of them now in Jesus' name. Turn loose and come out. Let them go in Jesus' name. Anger. Spirits of anger. Wrath. Adultery. Come out there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Take a deep breath. Don't be passive. Come on. Work those things out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Loosen them. Come out there now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirits of rebellion. Rebellion against God. Fear. All fears. Come out there now. Fear. Let them go. Turn them loose and come out there and let them go. Spirits of death. I break the curse of death over everyone here and I call it off. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Every curse of death. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out of there. In the name of Jesus. Soul travel. I call out mind control. All the controlling spirits. I call out the protectors. Every protector that's protecting the spirits. Come out of there. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Envy. Hatred. All the pride, resentment, bitterness, all occult spirits, all fortune-telling spirits, horoscope spirits, tea leaf readings, all spirits of divination. Come on out here. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, cough them out, girls. In the name of Jesus. Command them to go. You inside of you, don't be praying in tongues or praying in spirit. Just command those things like you're sitting in a uptown church. And you have to pray inside of you. You say, come out of there in the name of Jesus. You can't pray in Jesus' name. Come out of there. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Spirits of rejection, self-rejection, spirits of abuse, child abuse, incest. Come out of them. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, turn loose and let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has given them a name that's above every name. All sickness and disease, infirmities, come out of them. Heart attacks, cancer, come out of them. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn loose. Turn them loose and let them go. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. What did they just say? Caused them. Sinuses. Witchcraft. Idolatry. In the name of Jesus, I break the curse of idolatry and I call it out. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, come on. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Spirits of adultery, come out of there. I break every curse of adultery and call it out in Jesus' name. Come on out of there. All the idolatry that causes the root of all those sinus infections, come out of them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I call the ruler out. I call that ruler spirit out right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go. There's a ruler spirit also with all infections that we've run into is called Mirham. So I call the spirit of Mirham out and break the power of it and command it to go. It's over asthma, sinus infection, bronchitis. Ear infections, all kinds of infections. I can't think of them right now. But I bind its power and command it out. Let them go. Let it go. My son was highly allergic to a bee sting, almost died. And we got it off of him, and he's never had another problem. And I call the Mirham spirit out now. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all witchcraft spirits, all fear, all adultery, idolatry, haters of God, disobedience to God. Come on out of there, all the rebellion. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. And you know, the demon is spirit, and it comes out sometimes with a yawn. Sometimes it comes out with a cough. Sometimes it comes out with tears. Sometimes it comes out with a sneeze. Sometimes it comes out hard. But God does it His way. We don't know how God's going to do it. So it comes the way God wants it to. So in the name of Jesus, listen to me. Come out to all false worship, worship of idols, worship of children. Come on out there, worship of husbands. Come out now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, rebellion against God. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come out of there. Turn them loose, all the witchcraft. I call out the spirit of the witch. I call out the soul of the witch. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, let them go. Let them go. Come on out of there. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I call out the spirit of idol spirit, passivity, all passivity. I call out all that supernatural tiredness in the name of Jesus. Spirits of tiredness, a curse of tiredness has been loosed upon God's people. I break its hold and I call it out in the name of Jesus. I call out the spirit of bewitchment, deception in the name of Jesus. All seducing spirits, listen to me. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Cough. I want y'all to cough. Cough for me. Just cough for me. Come on out of there. Come on out of there. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Turn them loose and let them go. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody got anything you want me to call out while I'm calling? I break the curse of migraine headache. And I call the migraine headache out. In the name of Jesus, listen and come out of there. Come on out of there. All the pain that goes with it. I call pain your name and I call you out right now. Come out of there. Pain of the migraine headache. All the symptoms of it. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Come out of there. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I break the, Father, I should break the bands of that migraine headache that's wrapped around the head to break, cut those bands off. In Jesus' name, come out of there. Come out of her. In the name of Jesus Christ, all pain, pain in the body, come out in Jesus' name. Pain, you are name, and you will obey the name of Jesus. You will obey the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come out of there. Come out of her. Let her go. Let her go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let her go. Turn her loose. Come on out of her. Coffee mouth, honey. Make him go. Coffee mouth. Come out of there. Come out of there, migraine headache. You come out of all the symptoms of it. All the symptoms. Come out of her. I break your hold. I break the curse over the family bloodline in the name of Jesus Christ, and I command it out. Come out of there. Come out of there now. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You can bring in sicknesses from the person that you have a soul tie with. The Lord taught that to me. I've shared it up here. It's on one of the tapes that I've done up here. That Lord gave me the teaching on the sins of the mothers for a third and fourth generation. I was lying in bed one night, and the Lord said to me, He said, call out the soul of your mother. I was having some symptoms my mother had. And I thought, well, Lord, I thought I'd already done that. And He said, call her soul out, call your grandmother's soul out, and your great-grandmother, and your great-great-grandmother. And I did. Got all kinds of deliverance, lying in bed, just calling the soul out and all the sicknesses that they had. And it was just really an eye-opener that we knew about the soul ties. We knew that we had the souls of our family, but all these all the infirmities, it's like if a person commits adultery, if your husband committed adultery with another woman and maybe she was a prostitute or something, well, he just picked up the soul ties with every man that she had sex with. And all those things would be transferred to you. So you need to break the soul tie so they couldn't transfer between you and him and between him and the prostitute. Or, I'm using prostitute's word. But, see, it's channeling. It's the same thing. It's the same thing as when the enemy, when they channel spirits and all those spirits that they try to loose upon you. By the way, you know, Brother Glenn said last night, don't touch anybody. I hug people that I want to hug, but it's really not much. When you're in deliverance like this, you need to really protect yourself from others. Don't let others lay hands on you. Don't go around laying your hands on everybody, because you don't know what's stirred up in you, and you don't know what's in them. Spirits transfer, and someone may walk up to you and pass you and put spirits in you with their hands. They may not even know what they're doing, but demons in them do. I have made a lot of people mad at me because I said, don't put your hands on me. And I don't mean that ugly, but as a deliverance minister, I have to protect myself. Now, God is my source. He protects me. But people will sneak in. And you say, well, how can they do that? Well, if I was perfect, they couldn't. But I have this thing here, and I'm not perfect yet. God's still working on me. Praise the Lord. I'm sure glad. But be careful about touching people. I don't like holding hands. When they want me to hold hands, I really rebel and I have to repent because I don't want to hold hands. And it's nothing against the people next to me. Usually Peggy on one side of me and Jean or somebody on the other side. That's okay. But I think about who's on the other side and those spirits are going, dum, 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 dum. I get it. I thought, no, you don't. So you say, well, that's ridiculous. No. Y'all had picked up some of the things I've had to... Huh? That's right. They get in a circle, and they chant, and they travel from one to the other. And Paul said, lay hands on no one suddenly. And if you go back in the Old Testament, they transferred power that way. Moses laid hands on Joshua to give him the anointing. Well, I don't want the devil's anointing. And I want hands not laid on me. Unless I ask. And that's the way you do. If you want someone to pray for you, and you're prepared to receive, and you're, and if somebody comes up and you don't know they're fixing to do it, cover yourself with the blood of Jesus quickly. Praise the Lord. Well, glory. Oh, yeah. My husband worked up until he died. He just retired 3 or 4 months before he did, but he would come home. See, he worked with a lot of women. Their plant had sewing machines, and women worked sewing. And they come in with all kinds of colds and flu and whatever. And I was home by myself. You know, I wasn't out around everybody. He would come in and bring it to me. I didn't know that's where I was getting it until one night in the house. I am sick and tired of this. I said, the very idea, I'm sitting here by myself and you're out around all those people and I'm here sick, catching all this stuff, having to fight it off of me. I don't believe in sickness, but I had to fight off of it. And he sat down, he was going to do deliverance on me, and he started calling spirits off of me, and he couldn't get anything to come off of me. And the Lord spoke to him and said, call it off of yourself. He started calling spirits off of him, and I got delivered.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home.